The Around the NFL Podcast. Considered getting free Chargers tattoos.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined by a room filled with heroes, Mark Sessler, Colleen Wolf, and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, people?
Hey, hey, hey. It's got to be a thing now.
It's tricky. I don't know if we have the clearance.
Oh, that's right.
This,
I forgot.
Behind the scenes, they are really getting strict with what we can and cannot do. For instance, no more scorpion fun on Sundays.
Oh, I was really looking forward to
Shadowy
that.
Shadowy League figures decided that somehow the NFL was going to be taken down by scorpion. So I'm just saying,
okay,
that's Fat Albert's territory.
You're right.
Ship that to the lawyers and see what comes back.
Hello, Dan.
Now we're safe.
Okay, cool. Great.
What's happening? Is it what's happening's territory? Hey.
I don't know.
The sassy sister from What's Happening?
It feels familiar, but
Christian,
I can't confirm.
Yes or no? Is that D from What's Happening? Hey.
No. Oh.
Okay. Thank you, Christian.
Okay.
Easily confused with the sister from What's Happening.
The great Christian Anderson behind the glass, who does such a great job on our Tuesday video show, which this is, of course, the Tuesday video show presented by Head & Shoulders. The live stream of this show is on at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, overseas. Despite you being a huge market of our audience, figure it out.
They're smart.
Not disrespectful, just how many hours in the day, Greg, are there?
24.
But for us to be figuring out
we don't have
the
that
hours of other people's
Let's
things.
Not try to boil the ocean, as you were saying.
You did it.
Don't boil the ocean, bro.
Okay.
And don't think I didn't notice, Mark, that you got a new sexy Beachbody shirt underneath your plaid blue button-down, which looks a little bit new as well.
Oh.
Everything
I have worn this shirt
together
on NFL Network, I think, roughly 67 times
in a row. Yeah, let's get a tight shot on Mark's.
And
hot bod with the V-neck and everything.
I have shifted into I don't give an F about my wardrobe in any media format time of the season.
You got the squeaky chair today.
I am on the squeaky chair.
When was that policy different?
Huh?
Yeah, way back in 2014 when I was a clothes horse.
I'm emphasizing it more now. It is becoming more emphatic.
Okay, big show today. So much to get to, including the Monday Night Football recap. An AFC South showdown for the ages that none of us will ever forget. Also, we're going to preview the Thursday Night Football game.
Yeah.
Or not. AFC
tilt.
West matchup. Tilt between the Chiefs and Raiders. That's a sneaky big game. And then a very special edition of Or Are You Kidding Me with Connor Oren. We'll explain why it's so special. There is some news to share. So stick a pin in that. Just know that this is a special episode.
Okay. Did he move out of his haunted house?
It's a very special episode. I think we'll be breaking some news to Colleen on this show with Connor.
Uh-oh.
Maybe not. But before we get going, yes, let's start with Monday Night Football, a big game for the Colts and Titans.
Henry, first free running from the 30, on the sideline, the 40, a foot race to the 50, cuts inside, breaks a tackle, 40, on the numbers, the 30, cuts to the middle of the field, chase to the 20, the 10, the 5, galloping in, touchdown, Derrick Henry, 72-yard gallop.
Yes, Kevin Harlan with the call, that's Westwood 1, Derrick Henry iced the game for the Tennessee Titans, and Marcus Mariota also threw a 53-yard touchdown pass to Tywan Taylor with 5:29 left, a key play in the game. The Titans beat the Colts 36-22, overcoming a slow start on Monday night. That ends what had been an 11-game losing streak, Greg Rosenthal, for the Titans against the Colts, which is really surprising because the Colts have not been a juggernaut for a couple of years.
Yeah,
That's a long losing streak.
Yep.
It has continued, but now it is over. The Titans get a win they need, and they get a performance from Marcus Mariota that a lot of people were calling gutty.
It was. This is what you want to see out of your young quarterback playing through an injury, playing through limitations. If you missed the telecast, John Gruden informed you roughly 79 different times that he couldn't leave the pocket, that he has to just win this game from the pocket. But it was an impressive performance. You know, there was a pick six. There were some inconsistencies early, but he played his very best in the fourth quarter. They were down 19-9 in this game, and Mariota made a lot of nice passes, had very good pass protection, and it's a win as he gets healthier, and the Titans hope this team gets a little more consistent on defense, that they could look back back on and think, like, we needed that win. We could not fall 2-4 losing at home to the Jacoby Brissett Colts.
Yeah, and it locks up the AFC South, not unpredictably. Three teams at 3-3, and right. The Colts at 2-4, a forest of total mediocrity, leaving me wondering what the meaning of the game was last night, ultimately. But I will say this, and it echoes what you tweeted, but it's also what we talked about on this podcast many times. There already is a quarterback issue in this league. There's already too many crappy quarterbacks, often squaring off against each other week to week. We do not need Jacoby Brissett being sent into the shadows. It's not the guy we need being taken out of our life right now. He's fun to watch.
Well, I believe the good news is, and someone can correct me on this, but he's been in the league, what, 3 years now? So he's not going to be
his second year.
This is only his second year. All right, so he's locked into a rookie contract. I take that back. So he could go into mothballs for 2 years potentially. Yeah. And given that Andrew Luck has had shoulder problems, which is one of the worst problems a quarterback could have, it would behoove the Colts to keep him in the building.
And I love the use of
boil that ocean, baby.
Ooh. No, what I was noticing in this game, obviously, Derrick Henry, that was his first 100-yard game, and obviously, the 72-yard touchdown helped, but how many times did John Gruden say exotic Smash Mouth during this game? Everything I heard was exotic, exotic, exotic.
Which they really haven't been this season.
No, and obviously they weren't in this game, but it worked. And Taywan Taylor, the touchdown that he had, I loved that the Titans threw some shade at them because I guess John Gruden had said that he was a gimmicky player.
Yeah,
and
he said
that was an awesome play. Yeah.
It was a blown coverage, and the Colts defense is remarkable in how it can collapse in the fourth quarter of games. They have been outscored in the fourth quarter of games this year, 85-22.
Oh my God.
This was a very entertaining game. It helps that it was had modest, very modest expectations going in, but there was literally not a punt in the first half. It was back and forth. Titans had to make a comeback. But for as fun as Jacoby Brissett was in the first half, you know, it needs to be mentioned that Dick LeBeau changed up what he was doing defensively in the second half. And Brissett and the Colts offense was basically a nightmare. This would have been a blowout if not for a pick six by the Colts defense to start that second half. They could not move the ball. They made a lot of mistakes. And you started to see, okay, this is a young quarterback that's still going to be improving as he goes. He's fun to watch.
Maybe they should have used Marlon Mack a little bit more.
That was a fair critique, I thought, coming out of that game. That this is the most exciting running back you have right now. No offense to Frank Gore. And he was got two carries.
Yeah.
Right. But the reason he was benched was because he got Brissett killed. A couple plays that they left him in and he didn't understand the protection scheme, he got Brissett killed. And once the pressure started getting to Brissett in the second half, I mean, I don't trust either of these teams long term. I mean, obviously the Colts I don't trust, but even the Titans, because there's no defense, there's no pass rush, and there's not a good secondary. And in the end, I don't think you're going to go anywhere without any pass rush.
Yeah, one of the reasons, Greg, I know you love your boy Frank Gore, is that he's a guy that coaches love because you know he's going to be healthy and on the field, and he's going to help you in all phases, including protecting your quarterback. Mac's not there yet.
He ran 5 yards per carry, so the running game was hardly the Colts' problem. They were moving the ball in the first half. It was in the second half, and they just could not throw the ball at all.
Jack Doyle, catch the ball, please.
Yeah, Jack Doyle.
T.Y. Hilton.
You got to help. You got to help out.
Invisible in this game.
If you look at his home road splits, he disappears on the road, and he did it again with one catch in this game. And you know, I heard a Titans fan came at me on Twitter. He's like, "I'm waiting, Dan. Like, I'm going to give you a ton of credit for winning a primetime home game against Jake Brissett and the Colts. Let's calm down. You got a lot of ocean to boil before I respect you."
That's fair, but it really was a great fourth quarter for Mariota, 6 for 6 for 103 yards. And I love it was such a Marcus Mariota moment when he dropped that touchdown to Taylor, which was on a blown coverage. Immediately afterwards, he sees his offensive lineman and a Titans offensive lineman and a Colts defensive lineman kind of getting into it after the play because they hit the Colts for a late hit. And Mariota, instead of celebrating the touchdown, immediately gets in his offensive lineman's face, pushes him away, like trying to prevent a penalty. Like in that moment, for like a young player to be that calm, that's impressive.
That guy's got some maturity.
He's good.
It's boys.
I think he got a haircut, too. His hair looked a little different.
He did get a haircut.
Very good.
Absolutely.
Very good. There is your Monday night recap, including a haircut update in a big spot. Let's move on and do... Oh, hi, Linz, behind the glass, the great Lindsay Fulton. Oh,
hey, guys. How's it going?
How are things going so far? Lindsay, I want everyone to understand
I haven't met Lindsay yet. Hi.
Hi. It's nice to meet you.
I don't want
to... Polite of us to do no introductions at all.
Yeah. No, it's okay.
Well, Colleen doesn't speak with any of the people behind...
Oh, my God. Do not even start that. Yeah. Christian, back me up. He's not. Nothing. He's not going
to talk. Owned you in a big spot. I don't want to mansplain this too much, but I do want to say that Lindsay is our first ever full-time producer. And that's a big deal for our podcast. We've never had a full-time producer, so we're so excited to have her. Lindsay, we said it on Sunday. I'll say it again. Welcome aboard.
I'm just really excited.
I see that as the iPad really falls down. Let's do some news. We used to do a little fun, like, you know, sound vignette right before that.
But we're not allowed to.
Not allowed.
That's
done. It's gone. All right.
Piece by piece.
It's over.
You guys apart.
They're going to take each of us away one by one. Exactly. And it will just be Mark talking politics. That will be what the show ends up as. All right. Let's do some news. We'll start with the Minnesota Vikings. Oh, you never want to get pumped up about, somebody getting injured. But the Vikings fan and the Vikings in general realize that their season just got into a much more optimistic place with Aaron Rodgers knocked out for the year. And to add to that for the Vikings and their hopes this season, Teddy Bridgewater will soon hit the practice field over a year after that weird, bizarre, gruesome knee injury in practice right before the start of the season. It made you think if he'd be done with football. It was that bad an injury. He has now been cleared to begin practicing by a doctor, according to Rap Sheet. Rappaport added that Bridgewater is expected to be activated by the Vikings this week or next. Mike Zimmer had this to say: no, he won't come off the PUP list. He's going to practice, but he has 21 days, and he'll stay on the PUP list until he's ready to play. Colleen, Bridgewater's 24. Mm-hmm. Easy to forget this now, but he was a former first-round draft pick a couple years ago. And there's still a chance that he could have a big role in this team if Case Keenum comes down to earth and Sam Bradford can't get back on the field.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the timing works out for Bridgewater that the Vikings are in this situation right now. And it's nice because you look at so many teams who they don't have a lot of options. And so it seems like the Vikings obviously have a ton of options now, but the fact that he has come back from this injury that was so gruesome, as you said. I mean, people were talking all sorts of stuff about him just being able to do regular things again, let alone play football. And I know that he's been in all of their meetings for the last 14 months. He's caught up on the playbook. That's what the team said. And that he gets the game script every week. So he knows what's going on with the team and he's involved. So I think it's great for them if they have this option.
The timing is interesting too, because you have the Ravens followed by the Browns in London. So you could get by with any of your quarterbacks probably to knock out Cleveland and London. And then you have a bye week. So Teddy Bridgewater kind of rolls in at the right time, potentially.
It makes this Viking season and team a lot more intriguing. Because as good as Case Keenum has played, I think you do expect him to come back there. I think we started to see that against the Packers. Certainly wasn't his best game of the season. And there's been a lot of injuries and a lot of, there hasn't, been some setbacks for the NFL, let's say, this season. I would forgive a lot.
What, are you talking about the scorpion drop?
Yeah, the scorpion drop. That was big.
That was terrible.
If this season ended with Teddy Bridgewater starting a home Super Bowl in Minnesota.
Whoa.
I mean, I know that's kind of that's shooting for the moon here, but that would be a fun storyline to get behind.
Ocean boiled.
I'm rooting for it. That's not what it means. I'd boil that ocean.
That's the way to, put expectations at the right place for Teddy.
I know it's a long shot, but there's a lot.
We don't even know if he's coming back, by the way. They get 3 weeks to decide whether they can. They expect it, but it's still not even a slam dunk.
And I think Case Keenum, to be clear, if he continues at this level, Teddy Bridgewater is not going to start until their offense is struggling more and Case Keenum is struggling more. I would expect that to happen eventually, but I don't think they're immediately just going to replace Case Keenum if he's playing.
Well, that's the great thing. Yeah. You don't have some absolute nightmare taking what is a white playoff-type team from week to week. You've got other options.
Right.
You don't need to rush him.
Like
they couldn't rush him anyways.
You can ride Keenum, I would say, maybe to the conference championship. Then you put in Bridgewater. He wins that, and he starts the Super Bowl.
All right, Greg. I mean, I think everyone's rooting for Teddy Bridgewater. I just don't want you to put all the eggs in this basket and be disappointed if it doesn't happen. That's all.
Moreover, because people aren't even putting eggs in baskets anymore. So a waste of your time in modern-day America.
Well, what about Easter?
Yeah, save it for the religion podcast, Mark.
Easter bunny.
That situation is a little different. I stand corrected. People do that on Easter.
Let's move on and talk about What do you want to talk about? Let's talk about some injury stuff.
Yeah.
We'll start with Jameis Winston. Two Bucks items in the news today, but we'll start with Winston, who, while Aaron Rodgers got thrown to the turf and broke his collarbone, Winston was luckier when he got thrown down. He only suffered an AC joint sprain in his throwing shoulder. He's regarded as day-to-day, and Rap Sheet reported it's an injury the QB could play with moving forward. Winston said Sunday he expects to play next week against the Bills. Mark, that's good to hear. It's much better than a Rodgers-type diagnosis, but who knows how this will affect his arm strength and all that. It still remains to be determined how serious this injury is.
Yeah, it's a messy development for a team that has been really weird this season, frankly.
And disappointing.
Ryan Fitzpatrick, I understand that Ryan Fitzpatrick melted down in the preseason, but he basically almost generated one of the great comebacks last week. It fell short, but he can move the ball. He can do, I think, right now, as much as we've seen from Winston. I'm not saying he's an equal, but Winston has not been a huge asset to Tampa Bay this season.
No, I mean, even just that game against the Patriots when he was overthrowing guys, he was not communicating well with his receivers, him and O.J. Howard at the end of the game. But Winston, he's been reliable in terms of staying healthy and being starting games. He started 37 games straight. So if he does miss this, yeah, I think that might throw a lot of people off, lot of the players off on
and
offense.
Why else do you get Ryan Fitzpatrick, who they paid pretty good money to be a backup? And we know Fitzpatrick's limitations, but he could also he checks the most important box as a backup, a guy you could turn a team over to for a few weeks, and he might even help you if he's hot. And I think this might be a situation where they would have to give a hard thought to whether to give Winston a little blow here.
Yeah, if he's not right, you don't want to worry about him long term, including just this season. You also are worried a little bit about this season falling too far behind. Now, right now, the NFC South is all within one game in the loss column, but they're going to Buffalo this week. You know, that's not an easy game. You don't want to go 2-4 and then you play the Panthers and the Saints after that. These are big games. This is a weird team. I mean, they're fourth in the league in yards. It's not like Jameis Winston wasn't moving the ball, and they're 30th on defense in yards allowed. So they I don't know what to think of them, but when I watch
it's
them, I'm like, what defines them, really? I think they're not far away from being explosive on offense. They've certainly moved the ball, but they just can't like quite put it all together.
He's given himself a pep talk. Like, we know that for sure. He's
yeah,
been a
sure.
lot of good.
I know that. He's listening to the self improvement tapes.
That will not be effective.
In other injury news, Emmanuel Sanders, a complete lost night for the Broncos on Sunday against the Giants. And at the end of the game, they lost Sanders, who sprained his ankle. It did not look good. He got carted off. He looked in pain just being put on the cart, and you wondered if that was a serious injury. Well, it's kind of in the middle. It's a week-to-week sprained ankle. He will miss Sunday's game against the Chargers. In other Broncos news, Trevor Siemian had an MRI, came back positive. He hurt himself diving on a pick six attempt. He'll be fine, it looks like, but he will not have Sanders, and that's not good, Greg.
Sanders is so valuable. He's Simeon's favorite target, and the receivers after him are Benny Fowler and Sunshine Taylor.
Sunshine Taylor!
What about Cody Latimer?
I mean, I
don't forget him, Greg.
Cody Latimer's been on that team a long time to never get any playing time.
It's another Elway draft pick that's a tad suspicious.
All right, moving on. The Raiders have Navarro Bowman on their team now. How about that? San Francisco 49ers, of course, released the veteran linebacker on Friday. He is, you know, obviously slowed down a little bit, Mark, ever since he suffered that horrible knee injury against the Seahawks in the playoffs a couple of years back, had become a suspect pass coverage guy, but he could still help a team, you would think, and the Raiders are banking on that, so they signed him to a one-year deal worth $3 million.
Well, why not? You need all the help you can get on defense. He still can stop the run, and I find it interesting that the Raiders and 49ers operate almost like teams from the 1940s, where it's like, oh, you got cut by San Francisco, Michael Crabtree. Come on up to Oakland.
I was thinking the same
Navarro
thing.
Bowman, come on up to Oakland. I mean, it's like there's been four or five guys that Reggie McKenzie has plucked away from the Niners.
It's a weird situation. I remember the 49ers getting all worked up and making a public statement that he wasn't on the trade block when there was a report that he was earlier this summer. I think that's kind of been proven that they weren't that interested. I mean, I push back against. I saw a lot of tweets of like, why didn't our team sign Navarro Bowman? Like, you know, we need to pay. Like, there's a reason that they cut a 29-year-old who's coming off a torn Achilles. I mean, he came back from that injury in the playoffs and started to look like the old Navarro Bowman.
I thought so too.
And then he tore his Achilles. And so the Raiders need help because they have a really poor linebacker position. But, I'm not expecting miracles. This is a bad defense.
No, they've lost four straight games, too, at this point. So they're in trouble in their own division. They have major problems. I don't know how much Navarro Bowman is going to help at this point, too.
It might with a young group who's almost barely played football at the NFL level at linebacker that you have a guy who used to be one of the best linebackers in the league. But he's not going to save them.
Here's something that came out last week, but we didn't get a chance to talk about it because of the timing of it all. But anyway, the Bucs moved on from Nick Folk, as we know, after he struggled after replacing Robbie Aguayo. And the Bucs have a whole curse going on that goes back a couple of years, if you really start digging into it, that they've struggled to have healthy kickers, effective kickers. Anyway,
you should cover this story more on this show. I feel like it's been a little underrepresented.
Yeah.
It's like one of those things, like, what makes our show special? If you need a deep dive, extended, like, months-long coverage of the Bucks kicker situation,
right
here, our show. This is where you go.
You come to our show. Anyway, Pat Murray is now on the team. He, of course, he used to be on the team. He tore his ACL and got replaced by, I think, Connor Barth, or maybe Robbie Aguayo. Who cares?
I mean, you're like our kicker correspondent.
Yeah, that one. Anyway, so Murray signs with the team. He starts talking to the local reporters, and he tells Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times, I believe, right, that he's been consulting with a medium. Mark, can you explain to the audience who might not know what a medium is?
Well, it's a psychic, basically, and there's a lot of varieties of
it. Is not
mediums.
A psychic. Well, that is very important.
I didn't even know that.
A medium communicates with the dead.
A medium serves as a medium between the living and the souls that have passed on. No,
that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, a lot of psychics claim to have that power too. But so now, what?
Purportedly,
dead individual is he attempting to reach, to channel? That's what they do. They channel.
Well, this is what Rick Stroud had. She's
great kickers of the past that have been lost.
She's helped me tremendously with a lot of different things, and she's helped me tremendously with a lot of different things. And maybe it's just getting me to talk has helped me.
See, that sounds more like a psychologist, but I'd like to know what dead figure you're attempting to
make. And insurance isn't covering a medium, so he might want to change his strategy.
Oh, he's a millionaire.
You know what I mean?
Getting stuff off my chest and being able to really feel that positive energy. So, I guess, all right, I have medium history myself. You've never been to one. I have never been to a medium, but my mother has five sisters. I have an older sister. And it is, was at one time, a long-running tradition that every year all the girls, including my grandmother, would go to this medium somewhere in Rockland County.
Keith didn't go?
Keith sat it out.
Yeah, I want to know what he thinks about this.
No, I think all the men in the family, it was kind of just like a shoulder shrug, like, really? Okay. And they would go and they would speak to people in the family have passed on, and they'd come back with stories about what the medium told them in terms of predictions or feelings about the children, and it was a whole thing in the Carson household. Does anyone else have any medium stories?
Well, one follow-up question.
Yes.
Did they ever get bad news and come home and report bad news, or is it typically all positive? You're going to find love. Your career's going to bloom.
This happened when I was younger, so I remember never hearing bad news, but that doesn't mean it didn't happen. What I'll do to follow up on this story is speak with my mother personally and find out if there ever was bad news.
You would think the ATN Media Insider could get this information.
I think you have a source.
Have her on the show.
Yeah.
I could talk to Deb about it. She probably wouldn't want to talk about it. It's kind of a family thing, but
got it.
Well, now it's out in the open.
I will get the information. I will be the medium in this case and share it with the audience.
Who would you talk to if you went to a medium? Who would you want to connect with?
Right now, I'd probably have a good conversation with Tom Petty right now.
That's a great one.
Listen to a lot of Petty right now, so I'd talk to Petty.
I feel like he's busy. He's like, yeah, I've had a lot of requests. I'm going to go with guys I know.
He's up there doing literally nothing. Yeah.
Does anyone else have a medium story? Am I the only one that has?
No, I went to San Francisco.
Sorry. You have a very involved one as well.
Yeah, it's not as involved as here. Like the Vesuvio Cafe is right in the middle of like that whole area of San Francisco. Tons of bars and restaurants. Above it, there's a very famous psychic that like the beat writers used to go to, everyone, way back in the day. And around 2004, I went to one with my friend after we had downed many, many beers of Vesuvio. And I went, the psychic's going to give us good news like they all do. Psychic oh, medium, no. right? She goes up, my friend Mike got a very, I believe, a sort of a run-of-the-mill, you're young, there's a lot of promise for you. And I went next, and all I remember her telling me was that there was some sort of flaw, like a fatal flaw in my family line. That was essentially a curse that had been passed down from generation to generation was now affecting me. And I thought...
Checks out.
Checks out, yeah.
It does not check out. And I thought, how can you tell me that? And then she wanted $20 cash.
This is the drunk guy special. You come up there a little too sauced and she buries you.
Well, I said, I am not paying you for that because I don't. I need more
You didn't pay for it?
No, I would not. And she got very upset. But it's like, I'm not paying you for that bit of information.
That you stiffed
with
her?
No wow. detail. She did the reverse to me. You're sending some guy out onto the street that you suddenly have a family curse layered over you? I don't think so.
I don't want to take sides against the family here, Mark, but
I probably paid her. I don't know.
She is not beholden to give you good news. You sit down with her and she tells you your fortune.
What is this fatal flaw, though? She just told you
there
was
no.
Fatal
it was
flaw?
Very vague.
Well, listen, I had like, you know, yeah.
seven beers in me, please. So.
Yeah. Well, it's working for Patrick Murray. He hasn't missed a kick all year.
Only yeah,
he's
one. Killing.
Yeah,
extra killing.
Point.
Anyway, but. So medium talk. Don't even save for the medium podcast. We just did it.
Yeah, we.
Yeah.
All right.
Micropod in the great. Middle of the main pod.
Finally, in the news, Colleen, you are from the Philadelphia area.
I am.
And
that's correct.
The Eagles fans are not happy. They're 5-1, but they're still not happy. They're angry at
that checks out.
Referee, yeah, referee Pete Morelli. Whose crew flagged Philly 10 times for 126 yards in their win over the Panthers, and they called only one penalty for 1 yard against Carolina.
It's kind of ridiculous.
I'm not saying they have a case. I didn't study the tape, but that is interesting. And according to Dave Zangaro of NBCS, this was the first time.
Oh, NBCSN.
Thank you.
Yep.
This is the first time in NFL history one team had over 120 penalty yards while the other had fewer than 10. And so as a result of that, there's a fan, an Eagles fan. His name, he has a first name, but I like his last name so much. I bet this is what it goes on in his own life. People only call him by his last name. Mm. A fan named Phil Brick has started a change.org petition asking Rog Goodell to keep Pete Morelli away from Eagles games going forward. And it has, wait for it, 60,000 signatures by Tuesday morning. The first sentence of, I won't read the entire Phil Brick screed, but it says, NFL referee Pete Morelli has a clear and statistically obvious bias against the Philadelphia Eagles, and he's sick and tired of it. And
yeah.
Colleen, are you buying in?
Have you signed it?
No, but okay. I have it up on my computer right now, and I was actually just about to. No, in a shocking
Colleen,
development.
You host like 14 shows for the NFL.
Yeah.
I would not sign that petition.
I'm not. I mean, but I feel.
Unless you want to.
I kind of want to. Yeah, no.
They've set up the computers in such a way that when you sign it, your computer immediately explodes.
It erases everything. Yeah, I know.
And then the smoke rises up and spells out, you're fired.
That's so elaborate. I kind of just want to see it. Maybe somebody else can do it for me. Yeah, in a shocking turn of events, Eagles fans are not happy, even though the team is actually winning right now.
Right.
5-1.
Most surprising team in the league. And
so, yeah, it's a bit of hubris to think this is going to work.
I'm looking at the list, and there is a Connie Gonzalez on here.
No, there is not.
Not
stop it. But, hey, I love the creativity. This is great. Change.org, they have a lot of wonderful petitions going on for a lot of great causes.
Are you reading an ad for Change.org?
This is definitely one of them.
All right. That's what's happening in the news. All right, let's talk Thursday night football preview, which, of course, is sponsored by the Head and Shoulders, Shoulders of Greatness.
Mm.
Don't really know what that means.
Sounds good.
But
you can see your shoulders when you use Head and Shoulders because they're not covered in dandruff.
You know who? Well, that's good.
Yeah.
You know who has great shoulders? Fall of 91, Zach Morris.
Oh.
Oh, my God. I do awesome. Not bring this back.
Yeah. Awesome. What's the feedback
I thought you were going to bring up Shook or another disturbing obsession of yours.
How did that check out with the listeners that was the bod you wanted?
Zach Morris.
It strangely got on people's radar about his youth. But you have to understand that in the fall of 91, I was an 11-year-old boy looking at this 19-year-old punk.
This is definitely getting better.
I think you're only going deeper into the areas of critique.
Yeah.
And I just got to say, while we're on the subject, before we get into the preview, you went with, Mark, the Brad Pitt and Fight Club, which is a great
pick. That's a strong pick.
But you
know
what?
That one.
It's also kind of basic. It's like, yeah, everybody wants Brad Pitt's body in Fight Club.
I'm sorry I didn't pick a preteen. Which is not basic, but it is very questionable.
He's a late teen. It's a very big... Colleen, do you want to share your, like... dream bod?
I'm going to, yes, because okay. this definitely will be awkward. Yeah. This is an awkward exchange between the two of us right
is
now,
it?
I feel like. No, I would go with, I'm going to go Jasmine from the Disney movie Aladdin.
I mean, that's a kid's card.
Yeah.
How come Colleen doesn't get buried for it?
Because none of us know what Jasmine looks
Because she's not a real person. So I
well,
can go there.
Well, neither is Zach Morris, by the way, just for the rec.
Neither is Brad Pitt in Fight Club.
Well, Brad Pitt's body.
Greg?
I don't think that's I think that was a solid pick. I'll stick with it.
I think so too.
Greg, I think you had a great pick.
I didn't have one.
You shared what you shared it in our IM room who you would pick.
I can't even remember at this point.
Wasn't it like a tennis player or something?
No, it was
Oh no, that's right. I went with Gilbert Gottfried.
Gilbert Gottfried is Greg's choice for body, which
not.
I found was
We can all dream. We can all dream.
Yes.
That is the winning pick. All right. So let's talk about the Thursday night football matchup. Between, Mark?
The Raiders and the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yes. Ooh. And in a very important game, Mark, for both teams, but especially the Raiders. So the Chiefs finally lost their 5-1. Now they go on the road to Oakland. Hey, even if they lose this game, they're okay. The Chiefs are okay. But the Raiders are 2-4, and they just had a terrible home loss to the Chargers. I mean, how deep are they in it if they can't find a way against Kansas City?
You lose this game, you're 2-5, and then you go on the road against Buffalo and Miami before your bye week. Your season, how do you climb out of 2-5 in the toughest division with the rest of the schedule they face as well? My deeper concern is I don't really believe in the Raiders based on what I've seen over the last at least 2 to 3 weeks on tape.
No, the offense just, it's nowhere near the same what it was last year. And Derek Carr, he just looks stiff right now. He's not 100%. He can't do the same things he was doing. I mean, it was nice that Amari Cooper did make some catches in the game, but it's not like he played a big role either.
Stiff, but noble.
Right.
Certainly noble.
I would say very noble. He wasn't really the problem.
Extremely noble.
I mean, handsome and noble.
And brave.
What's happening right now?
The problem was partly the game plan, was the fact that they were so afraid.
Why was he noble?
We're trying to get a
it's
dig
our,
from
It's
Lindsay.
Our in-house,
saying,
are we in-house, like, gushing over the Raiders scenario.
We need to say something positive
Ding.
About
part
the
of a
Raiders.
Deal. And there
yay.
We go.
There's not a lot of positive things to say right now. Part of his problem last week was just the game plan. I mean, he's playing with a broken bone in his back, and so they decided to get the ball out of his hands really quickly and throw nothing downfield. The couple times he did throw downfield looked a little weird. So it's not surprising weird. That he's not 100% when he's coming off a broken bone in his back. The problem is the offensive line. It's not Marshawn Lynch. I think Marshawn Lynch is running well. The problem is the defense that can't get on off the field. They're not opening up holes. I mean, this is 4 straight weeks. They've been one of the worst offenses in the league, giving up a lot of penetration. Mm-hmm. And when push came to shove at the end of the game, they couldn't get a stop. They could not get the San Diego Chargers. I mean, the Los Angeles Chargers.
Yeah, it's like we're spending all this time on their disappointing offense, which averages, I think, about 13 points a game over the last month.
Which is pretty bad.
But it's their defense that has always been suspect the entire time. I mean, what are we clinging to with this team that still says playoff hopeful?
They somehow have Khalil Mack and they don't have a pass rush. That's a hard thing to accomplish.
Well, this is what you're clinging to. It's still just week six. We just wrapped. They're in a funk. There's no doubt about it. But they showed so much last year that I'm not ready to count them out. And you could look at it as... they're in deep trouble, which they are, especially if they lose this game. But the other way to look at it is home game against the Chiefs and then two road games against middle. I know people like Buffalo, but winnable games on the road into your bye. So there's a chance that they can get things together and be just fine going into that bye.
So you need to see them go into that bye at 5-4, which means you need to go, well, but I need to go 3-0 basically between now and the bye.
I don't win 2 of 3 and still be okay. It's a wide open conference.
You come back against the Patriots in Denver. You got the Chiefs.
You
on
got
the road,
Chargers
the Cowboys,
winning close
Eagles.
Games again too.
Well, look at that schedule. The Patriots are not the Patriots right now. The Broncos just got destroyed by the Giants. The Giants are 1-5. I mean,
it's
you can
I
make
see
the
what
case.
You're saying. You can make. I think they need to go about 8-2 from here to the end of the season to make the playoffs. Tall order.
I have absolutely no faith, though, that they can do it. I mean, they're going up against one of the best offense in the league. And yes, Pittsburgh kind of has Kansas City figured out. And I think the offensive line injuries, which we haven't talked a lot about, and Kansas City finally showed up. But there's nothing that the Raiders defense especially has shown me under Ken Norton. This is a three-year problem that they haven't really solved that lets me think that they're going to slow down this Kansas City offense. I love the Chiefs in this game.
I'm with you, man.
Yeah. Oh!
Do you love them that much?
Did you just lock them up?
I just locked them up!
What?
Can we get a confrontational reversal?
Lindsay locked them up for me.
Yeah. I love whenever I see Greg, like, look over behind the glass. You know he's got something up his sleeve.
Oh, I was trying to make sure
the lock came in before. That's good. I'm not going to do a lock off.
Nor should you.
No, not in this case. But I think the Raiders will absolutely be game in this game.
I think they're going to be taken down by maybe 14 points.
I think playing two games in 5 days is not great when you have a broken bone in your back either.
I'm talking
that's hard.
I'm talking how game do I think the Raiders are going to be? Like the ocean's going to be 212 degrees Fahrenheit.
Did you just look it up? Did you just
look is that right?
I don't know.
Boil it.
What's the temp for boiling?
Water boils at... Yeah, baby. 212, baby.
That's
in a big
great.
Spot.
Whoa.
And for the overseas listeners, 100 Celsius.
I'm not sure that checks out. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
It's a lot more logical.
Well, yeah, they got to this first. 100 makes sense.
Big nice round number right there.
I do think the Raiders are going to win, by the way. Am I alone on that?
I think the Chiefs are going to win.
This is a team that doesn't trust their running game so much that they're doing pitch plays, Cordarrelle Patterson on third and one. And
that said, weird stuff happens week to week.
It wouldn't be a huge upset by any means. I think they're probably barely an underdog and all that. I just don't like it. Week after week, they've kind of been the same team. They've been one of the more consistent teams in the league, consistently
That's
terrible to watch at.
We were all singing their praises after week two. That's all I'm saying.
I'm saying four straight weeks they've gone out and they have
scored 45 points in week two. Yeah.
The question is whether the core of this is, are they in a slump or are they actually not a very good team? And those are the shoulders of greatness presented by Head and Shoulders. All right. Here we go. We got one more thing to get to today. It's very important. He is one of the most important members of the Around the NFL news team. He's also a favorite son of the Around the NFL podcast. You may know him as a reporter, a dogged journo, a former beat scribe turned blogger who lives in a haunted mansion in New Jersey. He is Connor Orr. Welcome back to the Around the NFL podcast, Connor.
What's going on, guys?
Hi.
Hey, Connor.
Hey, now.
Greg.
Connor, I don't even know how we want to do this, but we have not done Or Are You Kidding Me in a while. So
too long.
Is today a good day to do Or Are You Kidding Me, bring it back out?
I think so. I think this is a time for a special one.
It's time for special.
Interesting.
Or Are You Kidding Me? And if you don't know, or you kidding me, we give Connor the opportunity. He's a very nice guy, genial guy, pretty laid back most of the time, but also a little fire in that belly. And if that fire doesn't get out, it's just like, Connie, I know you're a fan of the old time trains. When the old coal gets stuck in there and it doesn't have the release point, the whole thing can blow.
I know. It's a major problem. You got to release it.
She is a huge rail fan.
Big time rail fan.
It's obsessive.
Big time. You should see her garage.
Yeah, I have a platform, and it's great. There's little houses.
Anyway, Connor, this segment allows Connor to keep from blowing. And that's why it's time to play Are You Kidding Me? What's grinding your gears this week, Connor?
Well, I mean, I have to say, over the last 3 years, there's been a lot of things that have bothered me, things that have, gotten me all fired up. But I got to say today, nothing really gets me more fired up than the prospect of good times coming to an end and having to say goodbye to some very special people.
What is he talking about? I don't like the direction. Go on.
Yeah, so this will be my last week at NFL.com. My last week as part of the around the NFL team. And
what?
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
No.
Are you going to be a stay-at-home dad? What's happening?
No, I'm actually I'm going to stay in the football world. Mm. So I'll be seeing you guys everywhere. Still, all of our fun trips and adventures, but I'm going to be a football writer for Sports Illustrated.
Whoa. Oh, you sold out to PETA King of all people. How dare you? Wow, this is wild, Connor. Well, we knew about it, but
you're the ATN Media Insider, so I had to break it on the podcast.
Oh my God.
You know, that means a lot to me. Connor, really, it has not come out yet. This is the first time, first platform.
Oh, wow.
Connor is leaving NFL Media for Monday Morning Quarterback, and we're really excited for you, Connor. It's a great gig. I think we all agree it's a great match for your skill set and all that, but damn, we're going to miss you, buddy.
I know. You know, I was thinking about that today, like all the good times we had. I was actually just thinking about Mark and I when we were in London and, like, you know, they treated us like the Beatles over there. It was like, this has been an amazing 3 years. I really came as a naive person to the ways of the ATN world, and I'm leaving a very different human being.
So things just turned wistful.
I will say this one thing, that they, you know, NFL media, there's a lot of competition to keep talent. A lot of times we lose talented people here. We've seen that happen before. Connor Orr, getting to know him, he is vastly younger than many of us. And I see an incredible career ahead, an incredible writer, a creative mind, and someone that I treasured your friendship over the years, Connor. I wish you luck, buddy.
Thanks, man. Yeah, and, you know, for all of... You know, the Mark and Connor fans, the Heat and Light Pod isn't going anywhere.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Oh.
There we go.
That was my next question. What about your vanity project? So it's coming back. It's still in the picture.
It had to do, we had to deal with a little bit of... There were some questions from, let's say, our side of things, and we have cleared those hurdles, and we will be returning.
Eat your heart out, Richard Deitch. We're breaking media news.
All right, I like it. I like it, Greg. That's good. Anyway.
Congratulations.
Congrats, Connor. We are going to miss you. I told Connor this, but, I mean, he is one of those guys that I hope to still be working in football in some capacity. Hopefully the industry still exists in 15 or 20 years. But he is one of those guys I fully expect, if I'm lucky enough to be doing that Connor Orr, he's a lifer. He's going to be one of those guys that is covering this sport, covering sports in general. I think it'll be football until the cows come. I mean, he's going to be doing it whether it's – however the business changes, Connor's going to be one of those guys who's covering Super Bowl 60 and he's still giving, you know, jabs to Bob Glauber along the way. And, like, Connor Orr's
Glaubombs.
He's not going to be on this podcast, which is unfortunate, as a member of NFL Media, although, frankly, we could still have him on as a member.
That's not what he told me privately. His exact words, this is over.
Oh, no. That's too bad. But he'll be covering football. It's not like Connor Orr is going away.
And Connor, you could promise me that you're still going to, like, show us around Indy when we all
go
for the combine and go cigar smoking and steak eating and grilled cheese in the morning and all that.
And drinking in hotel lobbies.
Yes. I mean, that is never going to change. I think, you know, we will always have Indianapolis. That is always something that will be near and dear to our hearts, and we will be there in February at Nikki Blaine's, just like we would any other February.
You know, I'll bring my inhaler.
I made some mistakes in my old role as the boss, but bringing in Connor Orr, that was a home run right there, baby.
Little pat on the back.
Hell yeah,
weird spot. All right, here we go. Before we say goodbye, Connor, one more little surprise for you, Connor. Did you have anything else to add?
No, I think that's it.
He's out the door.
His gears are no longer grinding. I mean, he's just happy. He's happy to be leaving.
One more surprise for you, Connor. As you know, a little background here. Connor, one of his many famous appearances on this program goes back to his love of his PlayStation 3, archaic PS3, and a little walk down memory lane. That's real quick here, a reminder of when Connor got Chip Kelly in an imaginary world to sign on to coach up Minot State and take them to the promised land. Let's take a quick trip down memory lane.
We're back on PlayStation, baby, and we are bringing Chip Kelly back. I mean, this is white hot, and everyone can play along. As you know, they stopped making the college football video game due to the players' lawsuit. So I have the last one on PlayStation 3, and Chip Kelly needed a job. He was talking about going back to college, and EA Sports left up the team creator website from, like, 2013, which allows you to still add franchises. And the only school at the time with the vacancy were the Minot State Beavers of North Dakota. And
Minot
we're rolling
State.
Now. Our new motto is, why not? It's Minot.
All right, so Connor, legendary figure in Minot, North Dakota, I think.
Legendary Chip Kelly admirer, I would say as well.
Absolutely. So what I did is I reached out to the city of Minot and I said, hey, can we get somebody on the phone? Maybe the mayor, the treasurer, the comptroller, parks and rec director, somebody. What I got was the public information officer for the city of Minot. His name is Derek Hackett. And I thought on this very special day, the end of Connor Orr's tenure at NFL Media, to have a figure from the city of Minot come on and help celebrate Connor's time here. Welcome, Derek, to the Around the NFL podcast. Are you there, Derek?
Hello, Derek.
Oh, Derek's shy.
Welcome, Derek.
Hello.
Hey, Derek. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you guys?
We're doing great. We're a little bit, melancholy. We're losing Connor from the NFL media army. But I know, Derek, that you and everyone else in Minot, Connor always will hold a special place, correct, in your hearts?
You think you guys are melancholy? I have a whole city to deal with over here.
Yes, he really did. I'm not gonna say that he put Minot on the map. That would be presumptuous. But he definitely
did. That's my
job
to say that. Actually,
okay, go ahead. You take it away, Derek.
No, that's my job. You're exactly right. I'm sorry to interrupt, Dan, but yeah, we are on the map, the national map. Mm. So much that the ground shook. What was it, January 5th that we first appeared?
That's
on
correct.
Around the NFL podcast.
Wow,
that's correct.
All right, is there any thought now that Connor's leaving? I know he's still with us, on Earth, but any thought to building a statue to Connor in Minot?
Well, we're unfortunately in some type of budget crisis, so we don't have the funds yet.
Okay.
Let's qualify this. We don't have funds yet to erect any monument to Connor. But I now have a problem on my hands because I have to figure out what to do with all of these Connor Orr is my homeboy T-shirts that we're making here.
Derek, what has been like sort of the tangible fallout? Are you, as someone who operates in the government sector, are there active grief counselors that people can visit to deal with Connor's departure?
This is a big job for PIO.
Sure.
Well, we're going to have to work really closely with Ward County on this one. They sort of oversee all of our social
county
services.
Issue.
So they're going to be drastically involved in the coming weeks.
Yep.
I guess I'll have to give you guys an update via Twitter or something like that if there's any kind of further follow-up. But right now, we're holding everything together with basically glue and paper clips here, but we're holding it together for now.
If I could offer any just unsolicited advice, don't try to boil the ocean here. Just do what you can do. And, Derek, is there anything now as we say goodbye to Connor, and Connor is listening in right now, and then he's going to rejoin us. Is there anything that, as a token of your appreciation maybe, that you could offer the great Mr. Orr?
Well, I'm going to bestow an honor that, since I've been with the city of Minot, has only been given to one group, an individual group, and that's KISS, if you're familiar with the classic rock group, KISS.
Right. Yeah.
They were given the combination of a key to the city and an official honorary citizenship to the city of Minot. And I actually have a proclamation prepared for Connor Orr as he...
Whoa.
Connor, are you on the line?
This is breaking.
Yeah, this is unbelievable.
Hunter, are you crying right now?
I'm getting a little misty over here. This is crazy.
All right, Derek is about to read a proclamation, which is, that's a first on this podcast, a real proclamation. Let it rip, Derek.
All right, so whereas Connor Orr has successfully placed the city of Minot on a major national stage using his D-list celebrity status with a guest appearance on the Around the NFL podcast, whereas because of his accomplishments in the virtual world of NCAA 2013, Connor has not only kept the PS3 world relevant, but also boosted the Twitter followership of the city of Minot. Mm-hmm. Whereas due to Mr. Orr's periodic appearance on the ATN pod, commerce has spiked in the city of Minot with the production and distribution of the city-sanctioned Connor Orr is My Homeboy t-shirts. And whereas Connor Orr, overnight, has been adopted by the city of Minot as a true son of the city, joining a thin list of celebrities like Josh Duhamel, Wiz Khalifa, Dale Brown, and Ronda Rousey and her mother. So therefore, Derek Hackett, public information officer of the city of Minot, bestow onto Connor Orr a key to the city and an honorary citizenship to the city of Minot.
All right.
Wow.
Well deserved.
October 17th should be Connor Orr Day there.
Yes.
That is amazing. Connor, your thoughts? Or are you kidding me?
I know where I'm going on vacation this year. I mean, this is unbelievable. I can't believe it.
And this is a physical key, right, Derek, that Connor gets to put on his keychain?
Oversized plastic key.
Wow. Amazing.
It's almost worth losing you, Connor, for the show, just for that moment.
I know. If I knew, I would have taken another job sooner. This is pretty amazing. Yeah.
Well, just so you know, we have two TV stations, a daily newspaper, and multiple radio stations here, Connor, if you're looking for a
media empire.
Yeah.
That's what a PIO does. Derek Hackett from the Minot, North Dakota government, you've done amazing work. And I know, Connor, you could hear in Connor's voice how excited he is about this. So I think this is a mutually beneficial arrangement, and I believe it sounds like a union that could just blossom into even a longer-term connection.
Who knows where this is going to go?
How exciting.
We're here. We're here for you.
All right. Thank you, Derek.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, guys.
All right, Connor. Final thoughts as we sign off. One last.
Connor, I got to go, so I'm going to say bye to you. Bye, buddy. It's been real.
Colleen's
Sounds
gone.
Good, Colleen. I'll see you around.
All right, cool.
Final thoughts, Connor.
I would say first, can someone get him my address so I can get
Yeah, we got that under control. Lindsay will handle that.
Pretty sweet. Yeah. Thank you. I mean, the listeners were so awesome. They adopted me right away. They were very cool with some of the weirder things that we did, like my top five movies list and
horrible movies,
horrible movies, and all of the other Orr franchise things that we attempted on the podcast,
all trademarked.
Yeah, thank you, and I hopefully with your permission, I can still make some occasional appearances here now and again.
I think we have to do it, and I hope we see you at the Super Bowl, and we'll get you on the set for the Super Bowl. That would be great. We'll talk about it. This is not the end of our relationship with Connor, but his relationship with NFL Media is over.
One little final gift. We're working on this with David Ely, but a PlayStation 5, which is released in 2018, an advanced copy of the PS5. Will be shipped to Connor Orr's.
Whoa! Yes,
and this is going to be ticketed by Todd Sperry in our news division to pay for it right from the NFL's bill.
True story?
Wow.
Working on it.
All right.
Look at this.
We'll see if that happens. That sounds amazing, though. Connor, thank you very much. Good luck with everything. And thank you for being on our show so many times.
See you, Connor.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. That's it for the show. Thank you to everybody for listening. A reminder that this show will live stream on NFL.com/ATN video, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, and all that good stuff. And we'll be back on Thursday with another episode of the Around the NFL podcast. Let's do this thing. All right, Dan Hans is signing off for Quiet Storm. Connie Fox, the old boss, Lindsay Fulton, Christian Anderson behind the glass. Thank you to everyone. Goodbye, Connor Orr. You will be missed.